What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, where we're smoking weed and we're talking mixed martial arts. This is episode 99. My name's Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. Today, we're going to be smoking and talking all about UFC 262, plus the results from the fight night Vegas, Bellator 258, PFL week number 3, and the amazing Canelo Alvarez, Billy Joe Saunders boxing match that took place last weekend. Before we dive into all that action, grab your weed and fire it up, and let's get into the weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, my man, we are smoking on three different kinds of herbals today. You are smoking on some runts right now. We've had it on the show before, Paul, but it's been a while. I haven't tasted that yet. That's a brand new pipe, brand new bubbler. What do you think so far?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is Skittles crossed with gelato? It used to be a rare strain, considered rare.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's be honest, it's in most dispensaries.
It's very popular.
Out here, at least in Vegas. Wherever you're listening, folks, it might be one of the rare strains around. We've also got a definite rare strain, though, continuing our pattern this year so far. We've got the Apple Fritter joining us this week. Apple Fritter was created by Lumpy's Flowers in Northern California, and it's won all kinds of awards, but the one that I think is most notable in my mind is the 2016 made the High Times World Strongest Strains list.
There we go.
So we'll get into that one here a little bit later in the show. That is a sour apple crossed with animal cookies, they think, because Lumpy's kept it a secret. When it first came out, they didn't want anybody knowing what it was, but a lot of people are believing a sour apple and animal cookies. This runts does taste well. Here, let me pass that to you. I like breaking this one down a little bit. Sour apple is sour diesel, one of my all-time favorites, crossed with Cinderella 99. And animal cookies will be pretty familiar to listeners of our show. It's Girl Scout cookies crossed with Fire OG. And Fire OG was one of 2020's most popular strains and one we had on the show several times last year. On top of that, flower, Paul, which you are losing a lung over there, my man.
Done.
This thing hits pretty good, doesn't it? I just picked this up like 2 days ago. We've got some melon cake rosin here in the packs 3. Melon cake is watermelon OG and lava cake, and it is indica dominant. The apple fritter is a 50-50. And the runts is indica dominant. Now, those of you listening might be going, they have what? Melon cake, what? Rosin? What is this? Rosin is another form of concentrate. It's actually the first I've had in a while. You've been smoking a lot of this?
Yeah.
Well, for those who don't know, it's made by pressing. Mm-hmm. Literally, you can make some at home if you have the right kind of hair straightener and some wax paper. But buds are pressed in a press, and what comes out, the mixture of terpenes and THC that's kind of like juiced out of it, mm-hmm. is rosin.
It's fucking potent.
I like it a lot because there's no chemical processes done.
Yeah.
Nothing's in a lab. Mm. You know, I've tried it at home. You don't get much and you kind of ruin your weed, but you can get a couple of hits off a nice fat bud if you have a nice, you need one of the hair straighteners that's like really wide. I think they have like a one that's like 4 inches by 6 inches. And if you're watching on video and you see me, you can tell that I know a lot about having hair. So it makes sense that I know about hair straighteners.
Well, that's the thing is like, or you could just do it the traditional way, well, the mass producing way, and they just use a giant heat press.
Yeah, you can buy a fucking machine press. And, you throw an ounce on there on some wax paper is how I've seen it done. There's videos on YouTube. It's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
But I like it. I think it's a cool thing to smoke.
Yep.
We were hitting this before the show, and we'll hit it again later during the show, of course. But if you have a chance to get your hands on some rosin.
It's got a – I feel like when you do it, like, when you temp it right, it just hits perfect. Like, as far as, like, purity and, like, taste-wise, I like it.
That's the thing a lot of people don't know about dabbing if they're brand new to it is like hitting that proper temperature zone,
mm-hmm.
where you're not losing a lung coughing because it's super harsh and you're still getting that flavor. Mm-hmm. And I think that's even more important with something like rosin, more so than wax. You know, that THC content is going to be a little bit lower on rosin. It's not quite as strong. Similar to like how hash isn't as strong, you know, as your shatter and your wax.
At the same time, like, I feel like there's a little bit different effects. Like, kind of like hash. Like, you were like, you obviously know, like, we've smoked hash on the show before, but
we've had real Afghani hash on the show plenty of times.
It's a different high. Just like the same thing of like a dab high and a rosin high. It's just a different high.
Absolutely. So, I think a lot of that has to do with the whole... I think you experience more of the cannabinoids that way than you do even when you're just smoking the same bud with combustion, because the combustion kind of burns everything up so quick.
Yeah.
And like using this vaporizer here, the PAX 3, I mean, it's obviously, these are good for concentrates, which we mostly do it with concentrates on the show, but you can put flower in here too.
Uh-huh.
And it's a different high from that as well.
Yeah.
Like it just hits you different when you start getting the terpenes more clean.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would counter that by saying, well, there's plenty of terpenes in wax and shatter and diamonds, et cetera. There is isn't. It depends on the maker, and a lot of these things are added, and it's not the same thing. An added terpene.
Like you were saying, it depends on also, like, if it is, like diamonds, if it is just fucking, you know, shatter, if it is... There's so many, like, different variations of, like, wax, whether it be rosin, fucking shatter, diamonds, all the different, like... versions, and I feel like they all have their, like, differing effects.
I agree. Glad to have it on the show today. Hope, folks, that whatever you're smoking on right now is something delicious. And if it's not legal where you are, we hope it is soon. Come out to Vegas. We got all kinds of delicious herbs. But, my friend, let's get started on today's combat sports action.
Yep.
As we hit this rosin right now. I love this PAX 3, man. We need to get them to sponsor the show, for real.
About time.
I need to hit them up.
Like, yeah.
Oh. Just give us a coupon code.
Yeah.
All right. So you want to start with that fight night recap here from Vegas? Because let's be honest, there was not a whole lot of action on there. I think there's four. There's
a lot of solid fights.
Four fights we want to talk
crazy
about.
Crazy stood out. Yeah.
What was your favorite of the four that we're looking at? That we're going to talk about. What do you want to start? Let's start with Paul's favorite fight of that event.
I'll say more of my favorite performance would be Gregor Gillespie versus Diego Fierre.
That was at 145 pounds, correct?
55.
Was it 55?
55.
My mistake. 55, I watched it.
But here's the thing is, like, Gillespie was undefeated in the UFC going into the Kevin Lee fight. Obviously, everyone knows that devastating knockout that he suffered after that during that fight.
Absolutely. That was
and then so now he kind of was left in a weird situation where they gave him a guy in Fierro who's, you know, always been in the mix in the top 10 to 15, and this is a huge performance for him. This was him kind of, you know, showing that he's what, 33, but he's not, like, he's still getting better. You know what I mean? Like, his wrestling's always been great, but he showed that he had the power to put that guy out. Because
he was 11-0 before Kevin Lee. Now he's he's 12-1, and that was an important comeback victory. I don't mean comeback in the fight, but I mean to return and return strong from a devastating knockout.
Because
he was on that hype train before. I mean, everybody was on it, and Kevin Lee just put a quick halt to that. But let's talk about that fight itself. I mean, the first round was kind of close, and at the end of it, I mean. Diego Fierro looked fine, and Gillespie, he looked so gassed. I was like, man, he might lose because he looked gassed. But this goes to that wrestler fucking grind, that wrestler mentality where they can find that other level, because he was complete. I mean, I dare anybody to watch that after that round and be like, this dude's not spent totally.
Yeah.
And he came out and just turned it up another level and then put him away.
Yep.
It was very impressive.
Super.
It was
impressive.
A very, very, very loud statement, I think, to the rest of the division that he is back and a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
That's my favorite fight of the entire card as well.
Yeah.
And certainly of the four here that we're going to talk about.
So, what about that kudos one? To him.
Yeah.
And then also, kind of a weird fight in my opinion, but it was the Neil Magny versus Jeff Neal fight. Magny comes out with a split decision?
Yeah, this is a welterweight contest. I feel like I should know.
I feel like it was more quantity over quality.
I didn't do a lot of prep on that fight. I watched it as well. I watched the whole card.
It was a lot more like quantity versus quality, in my opinion. You know, I felt like Neil hit – this is funny because they're both named Neil. I'm going to go with last names here. So, you know, Jeff Neil, he hit Neil Magny with, like, some big shots. But I feel like Neil Magny was hitting him with all the combos. He was, you know, a lot more – not pitter-patter, but, like, he was, you know, he was scoring.
Jeff Neal was loading up on every blow. Like, he wanted to just send that fool.
Yeah, he was trying to take Magny out, whereas Magny was more, like, peppering him, hitting him with good combos, and I just felt like, I don't know.
It wasn't
Jeff Neal was just trying to get out of there. It was unanimous?
Yeah, it was a unanimous decision. Yeah,
I thought it was pretty close, though.
See, I watched the same fight, and I didn't think it was close. I thought Magny, I mean, I didn't think Neal got his ass kicked, but I thought it was pretty clear to me Magny won that fight. Just for that reason that he was tagging him up, and Neil just seemed frustrated. Yeah. Jeff Neil seemed frustrated. Neil Magny was tagging him up.
Yeah.
And Jeff Neil afterwards, he seemed very frustrated. I mean, he talked about a few things, didn't he?
Yeah, he's talking about how that heart condition that he's dealing with, like, really set him back ever. I think that was, what, a year and a half ago or something. So he's had two fights since then. Before that, he was a world beater. He's coming off the, you know, Mike Perry knockout. Everything in the world, you know, is looking out for him. And then he collapses, has the heart condition thing going on. And also, so supposedly he was talking about maybe taking a year off, focusing a little bit more on his body and his health and his recovery from that what happened.
Right.
And, I mean, it's tough because he's, what, 30 years old now? So, like, he doesn't have a ton of time left in his prime. So, I hope the best for him. But, like, taking a year off, it might not be the right decision. You know what I mean?
I don't know. You always got to respect somebody if they feel like they're doing it for their health.
Absolutely.
But we don't know enough.
Career-wise, I'm saying, at least.
But, like, what happened to him? Like, if folks are listening, they're like, well, what happened to his heart? He had congestive heart failure and sepsis. And I'll be honest, I thought he was a liar, but when I first heard that he had that and was coming back, I was like, there's no way. You did not have congestive heart failure and sepsis and now you're returning. Because, like, I mean, if you go Google it, man, people don't come back from that. And when they do, it's like people are amazed. Like, I was reading up on it after that happened, and there was, like, stories how amazing that some guy walked a fucking marathon after having it, you know? So I'm not doubting. I was so shocked to be like, you can't be serious.
Yeah,
it was
crazy,
more
mad.
Not your liar, but you can't
be
serious.
More like someone
would
be like, wow, that's impossible.
You know, so to now hear him say that, and to kind of see it in performances, that he is suffering from some consequences of that, I'm not surprised. That's
rough.
He's amazing just to have come back to the sport of MMA after suffering such things as congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. It's risky, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, kudos to him, and I hope him... I'd like to see him win, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. When fighters say things like it's not like he's like, oh, I just don't feel good. I mean, he had congestive heart failure. If you think you need to take a year off for your health, you probably should.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true.
You're right. It might not be good for his career, but, I mean, it's not like... I tore an ACL.
Yeah, true.
You know, so that's the way I kind of look at it. I was shocked he came back to begin with, but congratulations to him for doing it. I don't think he has anything to feel bad about in that performance. I mean, he fought well enough. Neil's crafty. He's been around a really long time. He's about to break GSP's record on
Neil
victories.
Neil Magny's in a weird spot, I feel like, in this division.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen that.
One more fight, and he's tied with GSP for victories in welterweight. But go ahead.
But he's in a weird spot, though, because, like, it's here he goes again with this, you know, one or two wins here, a loss here, a great win here, a loss here. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
For real.
He's, like, that's Neil Magny's career, bro. It's, like, he puts on these great performances, and then he has, like, weird losses where, like, he didn't, like, get destroyed, but he just clearly lost, you know? And, like, now he turns around and gets these good victories, and it's, like...
Shit, Lombard. Remember that?
Yeah. So, like, where does this really leave him? I don't know. You know what I mean?
He's talking about fighting Chimaev, but he
says
he doesn't want to wait
for
him.
Yeah. He's been.
I guess if you
that.
Want that, go for it.
But why not? I'll take. If you truly believe in yourself, then, Yeah, why not take that fight?
Yeah, it makes
everyone's giving that guy all that hype. Who you want to be the one that derails the train for sure? If you believe you can,
I respect it if he wants it.
Yeah.
Well, what about now? We're going to talk about the co-main event and the main event, and these were both disappointments in the fact that there's not what was originally scheduled for either.
Yeah.
Originally on this card, I mean, we had Corey Sandhagen and the return of TJ Dillashaw as the main event on a free card. It was pretty sick, man.
It'd be dope.
And that was, I mean, we had Donald Cerrone versus Diego Sanchez,
it's a co-main event,
which makes, I think that fight makes sense for both of them. I thought it did, although I thought there's no way Diego wasn't going to be able to handle that smoke.
Yeah.
And Cerrone was fired up to deliver personal injuries to Diego Sanchez.
And
then we lost him. So we lost Sandhagen because Dillashaw got injured, right? We lost
that fight. Dillashaw split his eye open or something.
And we talked about the Fabio Diego Sanchez disaster on this show because I don't want to get into it now because
we've talked a bit about it. But just
we'll put a pin in that, and we'll just say Diego's not with the UFC anymore, and it was abruptly pulled from his fight.
Yeah,
and we could do a whole show on that. Maybe we should, but. And Donald Cerrone winds up fighting Alex Moreno at 170 pounds on 6 days' notice. Alex comes in and standing TKOs him and really looked good. And Cowboy made me sad.
Yeah, he didn't look good. Didn't look good.
The six in a row.
Well, here's the thing. It also, I think fighting up-and-coming guys at 170 pounds just can't happen anymore in Donald's career. Like, the whole short notice thing, if it was at 155, maybe. But, like, 170 is just – Moreno was, like, way bigger.
Was much more solid. Opinion.
Yeah, he just looked like –
he hits way harder.
Yeah, he just looked like everything was, like, stacked physically in his, you know, his favor.
Yes, sir. I respect Donald Cerrone like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And of course he's going to stick with that fight despite Diego bowing out. But Donald, you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
That wasn't the fight to take. You should have just fucking, you need to be fighting other veteran fighters at this point. The days of Donald being some gatekeeper, can we stop that?
Yeah. True.
He doesn't deserve that kind of shit. He doesn't deserve his record getting fucked like this.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve these fucking punches to the head.
Yeah.
He's not going to win a title. So why try to fucking, he's not going to be a gatekeeper. Not at 170, at least. Maybe at 155.
Fights, you know what I
know,
mean?
And I respect it. But there comes a time in your life where you got to be like, okay, I'm not fucking 30 anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not 28.
Yeah.
I'm sure as shit ain't 21.
Yeah.
So you can't run your career the exact same way as you did when you were that guy.
Yeah, true.
Because I'm sorry, you're a grown ass man with like a child, and you're taking a lot of blows to the head, and you're at the ass end of your career. That's just reality.
Yeah, true.
And you don't need to be going out like this just to show us how tough you are. You fucking proved that shit.
Yeah.
For years. Everybody knows. Ain't nobody in the world ever going to think Donald Cerrone is a pussy for being like, nah, I'm good. Diego fell out. I'll take the, you know, we'll wait for something better to get rebooked.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to fucking think that.
True.
My opinion, Donald, of course, a grown ass man, do what he wants.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And he says,
I see where you're coming from. It makes a lot of sense. Like, it's not that that Donald, it should be like, you need to take these fights. It's more like you gotta know you have like a finite number of fights left, like in your career, and wasting those fights on fights like he did this last weekend.
He's earned the right not to have to waste them. Just what you said right there.
Yeah. He only has like so many left, and like those kind of fights don't really move the needle for him either way. It moves the needle for Alex Moreno because it's like, wow, this kid's got promise, and he's, you know, moves up in the ranks. But ultimately, like, if Donald were to win that fight, it would have been like, yep, Donald, you know, gets it done and against a
An unranked prospect. Yeah. Like, there's no shine for him off.
Yeah.
Other than...
Not saying that Alex isn't going to go on and become good, because I do think he does have a lot of promise, and I think he looked great.
Yeah.
But this does... That win wouldn't have done anything for Donald's career. Like... Or his future and what his next fight would have been. You know what I mean?
And on
like,
the flip side, what's Moreno out there saying? Biggest win of my fucking life.
Biggest
win of my career. This is changing my life. This is changing my MMA career.
And it's on every website. There's tons of articles written about, you know what I mean?
He's getting like, all that shine.
Yeah.
Cowboy doesn't need to do that.
Yeah.
He's earned the right not to do that.
We've seen a few people do that off Cowboy now. You know what I mean?
This should be the last time.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. I agree.
And since I know Donald tunes in religiously every week to our show, since he and I are both from Colorado, we'll see what he does, man. The UFC's not going to cut him. He says he's not going to retire, and I don't blame him. You don't want to go out like that. I feel it, dog.
Yeah.
You should have gone out beating the shit out of fucking Diego Sanchez, his crazy ass, and then maybe fucking see if you can't wing one at his coach. Did you hear his story about Fabia? And this is all we'll talk about.
Yeah, the bar fight thing.
Yeah, he got into a bar fight with a dude that used to train MMA with Cerrone, doesn't train anymore. And was in there talking about, Fabio was in there talking about his death touch and all that bullshit, and dude whooped his ass, Fabio's ass bad. It was like a pretty big laugh in the little Albuquerque MMA community.
Yeah, that's funny.
Crazy. What did you think of that video, dude?
Dude, the one where he's like hanging upside down like Spider-Man and he's just punching him in the face.
That's the weirdest MMA thing I've ever seen. I didn't think the guy could go weirder than chasing fucking Emil Meek around with a knife in the fucking cage.
That's just funny.
But he did.
Yeah, that shit's classic.
Did you notice the really weird thing about that is like there was a little bit of production there. Like there was lighting, the camera was held nice, like that wasn't just like somebody whipped out their phone, like what is this crazy shit?
Yeah, that was some weird shit.
No, they wanted that recorded, bro.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are wondering, this is all, we'll just talk about this one little thing with Fabio. This is Diego Sanchez hanging upside down, like Paul said, like a bat, with his arms in the beginning folded across his chest like vampire style, and in the end he winds up covering his eyes and his face.
Yeah.
And Fabio's just punching him and kicking him. like he's the heavy bag.
Yeah, she was funny.
Like literally fucking like he's the fucking heavy bag. And
hey,
he started
watching slow motion, he dodged all those punches though.
It was disgusting, man. Like what is this dude doing?
Yeah.
Anyways, it was the nuttiest thing ever. Those videos keep disappearing from YouTube, but people are quick to get them back up.
And all the videos, here's the thing too, is all the videos of him attempting to press UFC staff has been coming out. And that's ultimately what got this fight undone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that video where he's trying to press Paul Felder is one of the funniest things you'll watch, because Paul Felder just like has this look on his face like, I'm going to beat the fucking shit out of you. Mm-hmm. Keep talking to me like this.
Yeah, he's lucky Michelle Waterson didn't get up and beat the shit out of him, man.
Or you mean freaking Megan O'Leary?
I thought Waterson was in there too.
No, it was O'Leary who she was like trying to defend herself too. Which I don't blame them. I would too. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I remember O'Leary. I thought I didn't mistake the two. I thought for some reason I read Waterson talking about how she wanted to say something to him but didn't feel it was her place.
Maybe. Well, you got to remember also.
Whatever. There's so much crazy.
You know why? It's because Michelle Waterson's also was part of the Jackson's gym. So I guarantee you that her and Diego have, you know, a history of a friendship and, you know, training partners.
Hey, can I let us on this apple fruiter?
Yeah, go for it. And ultimately, it's like, this guy's just like took Diego's career. And I know he says that he's helped him and everything and all that, but it's like he just has destroyed what was once, you know, maybe not the like most legendary fighter ever, but one of like the pioneers of this game.
Definitely an OG.
And just put a sour taste in everyone's mouth to like kind of close the chapter on him in the UFC. You know what I mean?
Look, man, in my former business, and when I was in Colorado, I did a lot of seminar speaking on marketing to like small business owners and other things, like in front of groups of people and on seminar, you know, various seminars. And when you're doing that type of thing, you come into contact with other seminar speakers. Okay. And there's some of them that are just like Joshua Fabia, bro. They're con artists who use things like motivation and fucking like self-improvement, which are both good, they use them in negative ways to gain control and manipulation over people. And Fabio's got this whole school of self-awareness bullshit, and that's some shit. It might as well be the fucking self-awareness seminar tour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He ain't nothing but a fucking con man who's using things that are good. Like motivation is good.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing wrong in being self-aware and whatever nonsense. He says that being self-aware is good, right, etc. And he's just a slimy motherfucker, man.
Yeah, he's just contradictory.
I see the speech, Pat. I see what he's doing. You can see how he uses words to manipulate people. You can see he's a fucking piece of shit, man.
Yeah, he's And, like I said, he's ruined.
And Diego's in his clutches, man.
Yeah, for sure. Without a doubt, yeah.
It's a sad fucking story.
It is, yeah.
And, I mean, how much of that, like, the UFC, when they released him before the Cerrone fight, they paid him his show money, his win money, and his Venom bonus. It was like 200 G's they gave him. How much of that fucking shit went right into Fabio's fucking pocket, bro? Fabio.
Yeah, for real. Good point. That is fucking
nice. I mean, he's his official manager, so he gets a percentage. That was a MMA payday. At the bare minimum, that guy pocketed 10% out of that shit. He just got 20 G's.
Wait, they paid him off, like, just to not fight?
Oh, yeah. Diego wants to fucking cry and act like, smoking gun proof that they're conning me. They gave him over 200 G's, dude. They gave him win bonus, show bonus, Venom money. And he gets the top tier Venom money because he's got like 30 goddamn fights or whatever in the UFC.
Damn. That just adds to the fucking, you know.
So Fabio, with his fucking bullshit phone call with that wasn't even the people to call to get his medical records. Like, the UFC literally doesn't have them. The commission has them.
Yeah.
If you knew anything about combat sports, you'd fucking know that.
Yeah.
You don't call up Bob Arum to get some fucking boxer's medical records, you fucking dumbass. Who do you think they report him to?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And why does he need Diego's medical records?
Well, because clearly they're trying to put together a lawsuit to blame the UFC for Diego's fucking injuries. But by calling up that's like what Mark Hunt tried to do.
Oh, okay, okay.
But he calls up the wrong people, and Diego winds up getting shit canned for it.
Oh, God.
You know?
Oh, Lord.
And I really can't blame the UFC. I'm not really pro UFC, but I heard that whole phone call and they were like, look, you're telling us that you think Diego is suffering from multiple symptoms right now. And we're not going to fight anybody that's suffering from symptoms unless Diego writes us a letter that says, no, I'm fine, from his own mouth, that he's not experiencing symptoms that you're describing. We're not going to be able to do it. And Diego's response was to go to his lawyer and say, and his lawyer's like, well, Diego's not a doctor. How can he answer that?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys just fucked this man, but your lawyer gave a retarded response.
Yeah.
And your manager/coach is conning the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And fucked you on that phone call with the UFC.
Damn.
It's a sad day.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately Diego's the one allowing it to happen. Whether you're getting conned or not, it's still his choices.
True.
Anyways, that was a rant we said we weren't going to go on. But there's more. Dude, we could talk for another hour about this craziness.
There's just so much to unpack with that shit.
Well, let's circle back to this UFC fight night and then get going back on the good news and the good stuff. But we had, you know,
Marina Rodriguez defeated Michelle Waterson in the main event.
And this was at 125 pounds due to the short nature notice of it. Mm-hmm. And Michelle Waterson lost a 5-round decision. And to me, she should never fight it. 125 pounds, whether it's a catchweight bout or in that division. She's on the small side anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
She's a former atomweight champion, which is 108 pounds.
Yeah.
She's kind of small for 115.
Mm-hmm.
She started talking about 125.
Yeah. I don't see it.
Rodriguez is just bigger and a little bit better. I think maybe it's a fight that Karate Hottie could win, but there's nothing there that night. She did a lot of sidekicks and other things that found some success, but
yeah, kind of one of those fights where it's like, is what it is.
She's tough, and she's a legit contender for Rosa's belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite being at 125, this is, you know, the aftermath and the rankings will be reflected at
15
at 115, and I expect Rodriguez to move up.
Yeah,
you know, without a doubt. But it wasn't real exciting. No disrespect to those ladies; they're both very talented mixed martial artists.
I mean, it was a solid fight.
It was a letdown. I mean,
it is what it is.
So it just went from a great event to kind of a one we can all forget about in my mind. You know, I felt sad for Donald and then just disappointed in the main.
Yeah.
You know, so let's touch in on another combat sport that went on after that event though.
Mm-hmm.
And during it a little bit, which was the boxing, the super middleweight title unification bout, right?
We had Canelo versus Billy Joe Saunders. And I feel like it was a lot of what, I don't know, people seem to get this notion to where, like, because Billy Joe was, like, pushing Canelo, that, like, he was, like, handily winning the fight or something like that.
Well, yeah, the fight was stopped. It was a TKO at the in between the seventh and the eighth round.
Well, no, eighth and ninth.
Or eighth and ninth, I'm sorry. And Saunders' corner, his corner man, Witz, I believe is who it is. I said, that's it, he's done.
Yeah.
And I watched that fight as it happened. I had it close.
Yeah.
I have my scorecard around here somewhere. But I had Saunders had three rounds, and I had Canelo with five rounds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't have him winning, but... But you're right. It wasn't that he was whooping up on Canelo and winning rounds. It was Canelo was just biding his time.
Yeah. Canelo's giving him the work. You know, he's letting him work. He was working him back and, you know, working the body more than the head and, you know, just kind of, you know, doing what he's got to do to get. He's a championship fighter. He understands what it means to go into that 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Like, those last four rounds are fucking everything in boxing in a lot of these fights. You know what I mean? Because it's not about who can come into the first round and throw fucking 60 punches and be like, whoa, came out in the first round and really dominated. You know what I mean? It's about the winning the fight. And I feel like that's what Canelo does better than any boxer in the world, is he knows where his openings are. And he knows what he's got to do to win the fight. If he has to take a couple rounds off and let you work your arms and, you know, punch yourself out, not totally, but enough to where you open up and he sees his opening so where he can, you know, find his effective punches and maybe knock you out. Like
he's very strong.
He's just so tactical and strong now that he's almost unbeatable at this point.
I agree totally with that. I mean, and let's not discredit Saunders. Saunders is a championship caliber fighter. I mean, he's a title holder. He was 30-0. You know, 14 KOs. He's not a power puncher, but he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
He works hard. The fight or the punch that stopped the fight, that ultimately led to the fight being stopped, was an uppercut.
It was nasty.
And it was a nasty punch.
I'm surprised he didn't go down from
but
it.
But me too. I admit, at first, I was talking some shit on Saunders for... It appeared that he quit on the stool.
Yeah.
And he didn't at the time look that fucked up. And he was competitive in the fight, in my mind. Like, he wasn't winning, but he was competitive. He still had a shot. You're winning some rounds. You're in there. And I just couldn't tell from how extensive the damage to his face was. I learned the next day, you know, that he had multiple fractures in his orbital.
And his nose.
Yeah. Like, he had to go in for surgery that night. And it's, I mean, you can't go out boxing. It's not, I mean, there's been MMA fighters known to continue in a round with a broken orbital. Yeah. That's dangerous too, but not like boxing. It's all punches. It's half of them or more going to your head. Mm-hmm. It's not MMA where you can take somebody down and avoid stuff.
Like, yeah. 100%.
You can't go out there and fight with broken multiple fractures in your orbital. In your orbital. So I actually tweeted some shit talking, you know, like I tweeted this picture of fucking Nate Diaz all bloodied and I was like, this is what a fucking real fighter looks like, Billy Joe, you know, like, and then I took it down. I admit I was wrong. Like, dude, you're busted up like that. Okay.
Yeah,
cool, man. Yeah, I get it. Smart move.
Dude.
I was wrong.
Ultimately, like I was saying, though, I just think it was just one of those things where Canelo just waited him out, let him put his work in. And just took advantage of where he saw the openings.
Yeah, that's Canelo's, what a real pro is going to do. Canelo's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, and he's progressed so much in, I'd say, the last 5 years that it's just nuts. Like,
he's really strong, man.
Well, not only that, is he's so hard to hit now. Like, before he was always strong. He always hit hard. He always, you know, he's had
all, yeah,
he's
but
had,
he's put on all this size.
Yeah,
and he's had, put like, it on the right way, and he's got this. Like, I don't mean like he's. I mean, he does get knockouts, but I mean like. He's so strong, like, he hits you anywhere. Like, if you shell up and he hits you, it fucking hurts. And, like, Saunders was bigger looking, but Canelo was thicker, and I guarantee you he's stronger.
Yeah.
Like...
He looked more fit.
Yeah, I don't mean he's strong like Ngannou strong. I just mean he's strong like... He doesn't even have to load up on punches for them shits to fucking hurt you.
Well, and his technique is so solid that he's just... Beautiful. Everything he's hitting you with is just like... Like, his last fight was a perfect example. He came out, the guy blocked all the punches, but his fucking arms were completely swollen, like, all over the place. You know what I mean? So,
I saw the footage, the pictures the next day of that dude's arms.
Yeah.
And they were just tore up, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's fucking strong, man.
Yeah.
And massively talented. Floyd Mayweather was a genius for fighting him when he did.
Yeah.
In my mind, instead of... taking this opportunity, since Floyd loves to be a tremendous self-promoter,
yeah,
if I was in his little shoes. I couldn't resist. I mean, I would be taking this time when everybody's on Canelo's nuts to be reminding the world that you beat him.
Yeah.
But instead, he's fucking around with Logan Paul for this stupid exhibition shit. But,
yeah.
I mean, Canelo is where it's at in boxing, especially with Tyson Fury on the sidelines now for fucking, what, 14 months since he fought.
Yeah.
So it's taking the shine off of him because he – I still would consider him the pound-for-pound best in boxing when he's active.
I think it's really close. Both those guys are just so technically sound.
Yeah, it's easy to shift towards Canelo because Canelo's out here putting in work.
Yeah.
I mean, good grief. He's already fought twice this year. And you talk about fighting Caleb Plant again at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So to fully unify.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But Canelo was definitely really impressive. That was a tremendous performance.
Yeah.
Billy Joe Saunders went out on his shield. People that talk shit. I mean, you can't go in boxing with broken orbitals.
No, it's not a good idea. So now... This is where we all. This is where we kind of stand, as far as like the
next for Canelo.
Yeah, next for Canelo is like he can move on. He can unify against Plant. He could go against Andrade. Well, here's the problem.
Andrade was there talking shit at the presser.
Well, yeah, he was talking that shit. It's
Triple G as well.
Triple G, Jermell. I'm sorry. Is it Jermell? Whatever.
One of the Charlo twins. the bigger
but
one.
But here's the thing, though. The reason why that fight makes a lot of sense to me, too, is Canelo holds, like, the franchise title, and then Charlo is, like, the active champion.
Yeah, it's one of those ridiculous things boxing does with these belts.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's how Canelo can be unified.
Canelo can unify on that side, too. Because and ultimately, that could be after Plant.
That's weird.
You know what I mean? Because here's... Canelo has a good chance to just – he could unify super middleweight and then just go back down to middleweight and unify there too and just clean house.
I would love that. I mean, seriously, that would
be it's 8 pound difference, but I don't feel like Canelo's having a lot of trouble making weight right now. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if he wanted to, he can go back to 160 and fight the Charlos and Triple G again and take all those belts too.
Yeah.
Has there ever been someone who's been unified at both weight classes at one time?
A long time ago, I'm pretty sure. I mean, but maybe not. I know there's a women's boxers who have done this.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, yeah.
But I don't know in men's sense. Especially now that there's so many more.
So many belts.
Yeah. Because we recognize 4 belts now.
So you'd have to have 8 belts at once.
Yeah, that's 8 belts at once. Which, who is it? Does Clarissa hold 8 belts at once? I think it's Clarissa, doesn't she?
I think it is.
Yeah. She's the first boxer to do that. I'm almost positive of that.
Yeah.
She doesn't get enough shine for that either.
Well, that's what Lopez is trying to do too, but he's going to have to relinquish some of those belts to get to
There's a chance I'm wrong with that. I'll take that with a grain of salt, people. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it's Clarissa Shields is the only one of the modern era. There might have been someone back when there's, 3 belts.
Yeah.
I'm not certain. But,
ultimately... That could be something Canelo could be interested in, you know what I mean?
What about Andrade, man? He was there at the presser
talking shit
his dad.
Yeah,
I don't know why you bring your dad to something
here,
like that. He was actually fairly respectful, but Canelo wasn't having it.
No, he's like,
he was like, you
suck.
Because he was just asked, he said he looked good. He was like, I'm a fan. And Canelo was pretty sarcastic. He's like, yeah, I know you're a fan. Canelo's English is getting a lot better.
Yeah, way better.
He was like, when do you think I might get the chance to fight you?
Trying to steal his shine. He was trying to steal his shine.
He was a bit,
like,
but he was
on,
respectful about it. I'm not a big fan of it, but I mean, he started off. He was just like, "Do you think I might get the chance to fight you?" And Canelo was like, "Ha!
Yeah,
you fucking suck."
Yeah, you suck. Yeah,
he's like, "You never fought nobody. You never fight nobody. I'm gonna waste my time fighting you."
It's a payday, like you said. It's like, a payday for him. And what the fuck? That's ultimately what a lot of these guys that are calling Canelo out are like. Yeah, it's fucking payday for them. It's just another name for Canelo to throw on the record.
So that's probably the least likely. Triple G is a possibility. I thought I heard Eddie Hearn saying something about that. Is Triple G?
Yeah, Triple G is always a possibility when you're talking about a draw and a victory over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like kind of the same situation that Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, and there's a draw and a win on one side, so there's always like. Opportunity for a third fight because there was never really a rematch to the rematch when you're talking about a draw.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like there's no way to make it right. Like, those fights are going to end up, if there's a third of either of those fights, there will end up being a fourth.
Well, who do you want to see, you know what I mean? To wrap this section up here, who do you want to see Canelo fight next? I'll tell you first, I want to see him fight Plant to unify.
Yeah, I think Plant to unify is the way to move.
And from what I understand,
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Triple G.
From what I understand, that's what Canelo wants, but yeah. I'm hearing that maybe Caleb Plant don't want that smoke after all.
I mean,
who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. That's just rumor. That's just boxing news site rumors. But, you know, that's what I would like to see. What about you?
Yeah, I think Plant makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well, let's shift back
into Plant or Triple G.
Let's shift back into the mixed martial arts and take a look ahead to what's next. We've got
actually,
the UFC.
Before we do that, let's actually rewind a little bit and talk about some other mixed martial arts from last weekend.
You want to get into Bellator and the professional fighters?
Yeah, put last weekend to bed, and then we'll get
All right, we can do that because we can shift gears here on SWAT
MMA.
Oh,
we're shifting gears.
Because we run the show here. So we're just, we're going to shift. We're going to put a pin in 262, and let's dive into fucking Bellator and the PFL then, my man.
Yeah, so in Bellator, we had a real big fight card over the weekend. We had, you know, the next round of the light heavyweight tournament, and then we also had the bantamweight title fight at the top. Mm. But let's start at kind of the bottom of the card. We had Michael Venom Page come in and, you know, just another highlight reel knockout where he caved his opponent's nose in, and that's just...
Yeah, that guy dipped right into that kick and blocked it with his nose.
Ugh.
And his nose was literally
dented in. It was like a Mortal Kombat
in.
Kick, dog.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the way he like responded, his like body was...
That apple fritter right
just
there,
another,
man.
You know, just another, another Michael Venom Page fight.
Oh, my goodness. That is tasty. You know, I've had that before, but only one time, and I remember liking it. But it's been a minute. It's probably been at least 6 months since I've smoked that strain. That's nice, man. That's fucking...
Yeah. And then after that, going up the card a little bit...
Well, wait, let's talk about this Michael Venom Page shit again.
Yeah.
All right. So you're right. He gets another highlight reel knockout, right?
So three in a row for him since his loss to Lima.
Since his loss to Lima, where he didn't look good in the...
He did look good, though. I thought he looked good up until what happened. I just think Lima was able to, you know, realize that there's a pattern kind of to some of, you know, Page's fights. And if you can stop that pattern, you can ultimately, you know, find some openings.
Well, who else has MVP fought that's any good other than Paul Daly?
Yeah.
And that was just a weird fight, right?
Yeah.
And Lima. Like, I mean, his greatest detraction and the thing that everybody says, which I find hard to disagree with, is that he's knocking out people and doing all these ninja moves on people way below him, way below his skill set.
I don't think it's his fault, though. It's not his fault he's in Bellator. He's not a matchmaker. He's just taking the fights they give him. Is it his fault that they fucking throw him up some guys that he's just always willing to fight? Because, like, ultimately, he's not the one doing the matchmaking, man. It's unfortunate that that's the narrative that's being told. But, like, let's be honest, he can't control who they give him to fight. And, like, outside of Lima...
Shit, that's five wins for him since he's lost to Lima.
Well, here's the thing, though. Outside of Lima and Paul Daly, who's really left at that weight class that's considered elite outside of Bellator? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be honest. At that weight class, at welterweight, who's really there that he's not fighting that isn't Diego Lima and or
Lorenz
Paul
Larkin?
Yeah, but Lorenz is out over here fighting other people that are
anybody
in
their
the
top
same
10?
Thing.
I mean, if you look at his last 5 minutes, Derek Anderson, Ross Houston, Shinzo Anzai, Giovanni Mello, and Richard Kelly, and only two of those fighters even have Wikipedia pages.
But, like, I don't know what you want him to do about that, though. That's Bellator's matchmaking. Like, if you want him, I don't understand why they're still giving him those fights. Because he showed that he could, in that tournament, that he could fight with people on you know, the level of the top 10.
Oh, I mean, he did get KO'd by Lima.
Yeah, but if you go back and watch that fight, it was competitive up to that KO. Like, it was a good fight, in my opinion.
I'm just not on the Venom Page hype train. I don't know, man. I can't. I mean, I'm not denying that he does cool shit and he's got ninja moves.
Well, no, right. It's not even that. But I just think that he's a very skilled fucking stand-up fighter. It's ultimately what it is. I mean, he's got kickboxing wins. He's got boxing wins. He's got point karate wins, MMA wins. Like, he's a strictly high-level stand-up fighter.
You know, Bellator finally did their rankings, which is going to be helpful. And I don't mean any disrespect to those guys that he's
beaten.
What
is he ranked?
Right, I'm pulling their rankings up right now. They're still so new, I forget that they're actually fucking.
They have like Dylan Danis ranked, I think.
Dude, there's no way Dylan Danis should be ranked.
I think they have him like 7th or 10th or some shit. That's who Michael.
They've got him ranked 4th.
All right, so.
And the guy he just fought, again, no disrespect, but he's not anywhere in the top. I'm on Tapology. He's not anywhere in the top 20. Bellator.
Like I said, man, I see where you're coming from, but at the end of the day, it's Bellator's matchmaking. It's not his fault for taking the fights they offer. He's making his money no matter what. So you can't really blame the fighter for the level of competition.
Did you see some people actually shitting on Bellator for doing rankings? Why would That's you do that? Stupid. How are they supposed to fucking get us to know any of these fighters? We're supposed to wait till they make a name in Bellator and then come over to the UFC.
Yes.
It's no disrespect to these guys who I don't know who they are. How many fighters can we keep track of? There's fucking 600 in the UFC.
Yeah.
Alone, exactly. Let alone all this other shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people I don't know. People we'll see. Like we'll see what happens to him. I'm just not on the train, but that was a hell of a kick, man. But, I mean, goddamn, the guy just, he dove into that kick worse than fucking Daniel Cormier dove into fucking John Jones's, man. But,
then, going up the card a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had Peter Quilly get the TKO over Patricky Pitbull.
Now, this I did like. I liked this fight.
This fight's been, like, re-freaking scheduled 3 times.
Right.
Like that.
And Peter Quilly is a fighter I've been interested in for a long time, just being a fan of McGregor's. He's one of McGregor's fucking training partners.
Yeah.
And he utilized some very powerful elbows from the bottom that eventually cut Patricky's eye open.
Yeah.
Terribly. It was a bloodbath.
It was so much blood.
Like, one of the guys that was there in person said they put like a whole fucking roll of gauze in the eye and it still wouldn't stop bleeding.
Yeah.
And that's why the doctor had to stop it.
Yeah.
Now he's coming out and trying to say that was bullshit. It was a little cut. I mean, I get it. You got to say what you got to say. That was a nasty cut.
It was pretty nasty.
You were fucked up, man.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, those elbows from the bottom were something that they had been working on, like delivering. Like, everybody, everybody delivers elbows from the bottom, but I mean, they're usually not that effective.
Yeah, no.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Having effective elbows from the bottom is what I'm talking about. They've been practicing and working on that. So
Bellator's 155 division is kind of in a weird spot, right, with Michael Chandler gone and everything like that. And now you got Quilly after the fight saying that he wants his brother, he wants the title fight, the 155.
Yeah, I saw that. His brother was trying to throw shade. It's pretty funny. Did you see it? He's like, that shouldn't have been stopped. You weren't winning a fight. And Quilly's like, oh, we can watch the video together right now if you want. And it came right on. It was fucking pretty sick. People couldn't say shit. He's like, oh, shit.
So, yeah, I mean, if his brother has any, you know, plans to defend at 155, why not? You know, that kind of seems to be a general theme of their two careers is like anytime you beat him, it's like, all right, my brother's going to beat you now then, you know?
Right. that does seem to be the way it goes.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. They should do it.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in that.
Why not?
But there's a lot of, I think beating any one of the two Pitbull brothers carries a lot of weight.
Well, and he also needs to chill out because he's still got to watch out for that young AJ McKee.
Mm-hmm.
That fool's
a lot of people
joke.
Writing AJ McKee off. He might take that title right there. He's no fucking joke.
No joke.
I'm a big believer in
him. Yeah, me too.
That dude's legit.
He's legit as fuck. And then, so in the co-main event of the night, we had Anthony Rumble Johnson returning to the octagon take on Jose Agosto on short notice after Yoel Romero wasn't able to pass some physicals.
Yeah, he wasn't able to pass his pre-fight medicals to the extent of not only could he not qualify for the fight, but the doctors were like, you can't compete in the Bellator tournament, period, the end.
Something about his eye. Out. There's something about, like, something's wrong with his eye. So, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, but, there's no public information. I hadn't heard that about the eye.
It was just some Twitter stuff they were talking about, so it could be wrong, but, you know, I'm always looking into shit like that.
Right. No, I've been real curious what it was, because, I mean, he is 43 years old.
Yeah,
it's just easy to overlook it because he's such a physical specimen.
Well, that's why it's kind of strange to see something like that where you're talking about failing medicals. So. But ultimately, Rumble comes out, gets a huge KO win.
Yeah, round two. He sees a little adversity in the beginning, and that's why he's mad. If you hear him talk about this fight, he's pissed off at his performance. He said it was piss poor. He looked like shit.
It's also his first fight in, what, 2 years?
Right. But he did get put on his ass in the first round.
I mean, that's natural, though, for a guy. Yeah, like, that's always been his style. It was like, either you're going to put him on his ass or he's going to put you on yours. And, like, he's going to always be willing to be in those firefights because he knows the kind of power he carries. So, I mean, those kind of shit, at light heavyweight and heavyweight, those kind of things happen. Like, people get knocked down and come back all the time.
Yeah, I wasn't
putting too much, like, into it.
No, I mean, I saw it. You know, he got knocked down on his ass. He landed on his ass. He got back up. Clenched a bit. He came out in the second round.
Fucking.
And then the 90-second mark, I think, he just laid that motherfucker out.
Yeah.
Laid him on the canvas and followed up with a nasty hammer.
Yeah.
Nasty. Fucking Anthony Rumble is back.
Mm-hmm.
With a vengeance. With Romero out. I mean, he fights for the title. You know he fights for the title next.
Is that how it works out?
Yeah, this is the way the tournament worked out. Well, he's fighting that Vadim guy next, and belts on the line in the tournament. So he's got his fucking title.
I was thinking you were talking about Bader. I was like, we all remember what happened with Bader last time.
No, I'm talking about
Nemkov.
Yeah, just through the virtue of the tournament, he's getting a title shot now. I haven't heard a lot of talk about that, but
Bader's fighting who then? Corey Anderson? That should be a good fight. Oh wow, I like that fight a lot. Because that's always one where, you know, like.
I don't know that for sure that he's fighting Corey Anderson, but I read fucking.
Corey Anderson's on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, well, then there you go.
Yeah. It would either be Nemkov, Corey Anderson, or Rumble and. Yeah.
Dude, those are going to be some great fights, man.
And then in the main event, we had Sergio Pettis just able to, you know. Showed, like, his striking is on another level now than it ever was in the UFC. But Sergio Pettis wins a 5-round decision over Juan Archuleta, 4-1 on the 135-pound title. Two judges had it 4-1, and then the third judge having it 5-0. And I just thought that it just showed that, like, his patience and his willingness to just, like, trust in his stand-up. Because I always felt like Sergio Pettis has been one of those guys that has had all the talent in the world. But sometimes he'll be, like, going with a game plan, and then halfway through the fight he'll see some adversity and just completely abandon the game plan and try to switch it up. And sometimes it doesn't turn out great for him. Mm-hmm. But every time you see him stick with the game plan, trust his hands, he wins fights. I compare this one kind of like to, like, the Joseph Benavidez fight. Like, because remember Benavidez, when he fought him, he just stuck to his guns, kept that jab out there, kept Benavidez on the outside, and just picked him apart. And Benavidez tries the crazy shit, kind of like Archuleta does. You know, Archuleta's one of those, you know, like that, like, breed of, like, 25, 35 guys that just, like, they're in there to bang, you know. And he's got good wrestling, too, but I don't feel like he uses it enough. But, you know, I just felt like Pettis was just able to keep him at bay, you know, keep him from, you know
Pettis, when he was in the UFC at the end, he got caught up in that fucking flyweight 25,
35, getting bullshit. Rid of it. Yeah.
Which I think was detrimental to him.
Ultimately,
you know, he left the UFC on, he beat Tyson Nam. It was his last fight. But before that, he lost to Rob Font, Jussi Formiga, Henry Cejudo, but he had a win over Benavidez in between then. And he's got a win over Brandon Moreno, who's a Brendan's a hot shit right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's a hot commodity. Fucking back-to-back mm-hmm. title shots for Moreno.
Yeah.
Sergio Pettis beat him back in 2017.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that, I don't know, I think he's built for Bellator's style of promotion and home for fighters better. Because like he said it himself, he doesn't, he's not a self-promoter.
Yeah.
He's a fucking quiet guy.
Yeah.
He's not like his brother, who's kind of flashy and more, you know,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more public in his persona.
Yeah.
He's just a quiet dude more who wants to go back. Out and do his fucking yeah. business and come back. And in the UFC, they're like, you got to fucking do this. And if you want the yeah. big money, you got to fucking get your social media up and you mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And he just wants to fight. Goes to Bellator, he can do that.
How is the jam?
He doesn't have to worry about that extra cash because yeah. he's got sponsors now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to try to hustle up Instagram fucking money, too, on top of all that. So there's yeah. more pressure off, more focus on fighting, right?
Now he's a champion.
Now look, everybody said no way he's beating Archuleta. Fucking schooled him 4-1 across yeah. the board.
Yep.
It's a great performance. Congratulations. I'm really happy for him, man.
Yep.
I thought it was great to fucking see.
I saw a kind of fucked up article written on MMA Fighting after the fight. It was like,
was
Sergio finally out of his brother's shadow. That's what it said. I was like, that's man. Fucked up. That's fucked up. I don't like that kind of shit.
I don't like a lot of what I'm seeing. This is just off the cuff here. Yeah. A lot of what I'm seeing on mixed martial arts sites right now.
Yeah.
It's
they haven't been very good.
I mean, I understand the why they're putting out the articles that they're putting out. And I get why they got to do it because they need the clicks. And they wouldn't yeah. be putting
it's
them out there.
It's not that the writing's bad. It's the topics.
The topics are fucking god-awful. And, yeah. and like, you know, for those of you listening, Paul and I have got a project coming up that due to contractual obligations we cannot talk about, but we got boxing shit coming up, so he and I are both much more involved in the watching and discussing of boxing outside of the show than normally yeah. right. And so
what you were saying was,
no, I lost what I was going to say.
No, I know what you were saying.
The fucking weed is kicking in.
I didn't know what you're saying. You were saying that, so you've been following boxing a lot closer, so you've been
the journalist. Sorry, yeah. That pause was brought to you by marijuana. No, the journalists and the websites. Yeah. Like, okay, and I'm watching them both. And the MMA site's got this, like, this Jake Paul, Floyd Mayweather shit.
Yeah.
And the stupid hat bullshit that happened. Like, mm-hmm. it's all over the mixed martial arts sites. There's yeah. like five articles on Jake snatching his hat. There was an article on these sites about how he started a clothing line with that title on it. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, is he giving you a cut of the sales that you're
yeah.
promoting?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
There's an excuse for the fucking Ben Askren one.
Yeah. yeah.
But why are you covering this? It's not even an actual boxing match. It's a fucking boxing exhibition.
Yeah. True.
And they're giving him all this free press all over every fucking MMA site I go on, right?
Yep.
You go on the boxing sites, yeah, there was an article about the fucking, there was like shenanigans at the Floyd Mayweather
yeah.
fucking presser. Mm-hmm. And that was it, bro.
Yeah.
The one article that just, because there was it's a boxing presser, they covered it as Floyd Mayweather. There was not 17 articles about the clothing line and this and that. And Twitter reacts, MMA fighters on Twitter react to Logan Paul snatching.
Yeah.
Or Jake Paul snatching this.
Yeah.
I can't stand it no more, bro.
Yeah.
So it's I'm disappointed with that anyways.
Out of control.
And I don't care. I call him out on my Twitter account. I had one dude clap back. I don't care. It is what it is, man. Your fucking articles are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyways, are. I'm not surprised that they were throwing shade at Sergio still. Because yeah. that's just the way a lot of these guys write. I don't know why.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
They're either doing clickbait shit or they're like, I don't know. I feel like they shit on fighters a lot. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Certain ones.
I feel you.
I don't know. Anyways, I'm going on a rant. Let's circle back to finish up in Bellator here.
Yeah. So now we got a new champion in Sergio Pettis and Rumble moving on in the tournament. So I feel like Bellator is moving in the right direction.
Me too. I enjoyed that fight card. It was
a couple weeks. We got was it Julia Budd versus Cyborg? So
that could be interesting.
Yeah.
It's so hard to tell. Every time I think someone might give Cyborg a challenge that's not named Amanda Nunes, they don't.
Yeah, true.
You know.
True.
I mean, Julia Budd is good.
Right?
Yeah. She's good. But, I mean, a lot of these fighters were good.
Yeah, true.
You know, Cyborg has fought a lot of, I don't want to say tomato cans, but some lesser fighters. But she's fought a lot of good competition as well, and she's smoked mm-hmm. them all except Amanda.
Mostly. But,
yeah.
Yeah, true.
But anyways, how about that PFL Season 3? We saw some weird action there, man. Yeah. It was kind of highly anticipated. This was on regular ESPN, mm-hmm. and I don't think that was any coincidence because Werdum was making his debut.
Yep. Let me talk to you something about that paper or whatever that event real quick. Really strange scene.
Which
there,
event?
The PFL.
The PFL, okay.
Very strange scene before we get the main card going. So the lights hit, the music plays, out comes Clarissa Shields, full ready in her fight kit and everything like that. And just, you know, kind of walks around the octagon, you know, checks it out, blah, 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 answers a few questions, walks away. I'm sitting, like, watching this, but not, like, super close. So I didn't know exactly what was going on at the point. I text you. I'm like, holy shit, I forgot. I guess I forgot. Clarissa Shields making her debut right now. Turn on ESPN.
Yeah, I get your text. I'm like, oh, shit. How do we miss that on the show?
Yeah, I was like, how do we miss that? And then we fucking turn it on. She's standing in the octagon in her flip-flops answering questions. And I'm like,
in her fight kit after entering the cage.
What the fuck is going on?
That was really weird.
It was a weird, weird thing.
And they didn't even have, like, her opponent there to make some kind of sense out of it. Like, they brought her in for a face-off or something.
Yeah.
Like, no, they just brought her out to
brought her for some questions.
Tour the cage and give an interview mid-cage. Like,
thought
they couldn't do that
weird.
Backstage.
Weird as fuck.
It's bizarre, man.
I mean, they did part of it backstage, but it was like...
Yeah, but then they...
strange.
It was
very
just weird.
Strange.
I agree with you. That
it was a strange thing.
That was a strange decision to promote her upcoming fight that way.
Yeah. Made no sense to me.
I'm like, I don't know what to say. Like, the only reason it makes sense is if you're going to bring her opponent out in the cage.
Yeah,
and
like face off, all that shit. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, word.
Yeah.
Still unusual, but it makes sense.
It is what it is, yeah.
Right. Well, you want to talk about unusual. What about Werdum?
Oh, yeah.
In his fucking fight against, what was that guy's name he was fighting?
Henan Fiera.
Man, so Werdum, if you just look at it on paper, Werdum loses by knockout.
Yeah.
Wow.
But if you watch the fight, Werdum had him in a triangle and had him tap it out, but the referee was on the opposite side of their bodies and never saw him tap out. So Werdum kind of lets go of the triangle, and homeboy just starts hammer fisting him and knocks him out. And everyone's like, what the fuck just happened?
Keith Peterson is the referee in question.
Maybe he was drunk
in this
again.
Event. Yes, notoriously called out by Dominic Cruz for smelling like
liquor.
Beer and cigarettes.
Yeah.
In the
I know Dominic Cruz that night was like, I fucking told you!
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, man, just an unfortunate
thing. Part of this does lie on Verdum's fault because he felt the tap and then he let go. And the referee wasn't the one letting him go.
Yeah.
That is a mistake, technically. Mm-hmm. Part of it definitely falls on Henan there.
Yeah.
Talk about a dishonorable thing to do.
Yeah,
you're gonna fucking tap out right on camera in front of everybody, and then when a dude lets go of you, you're gonna pummel him in the fucking face.
Yeah.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Sometimes they call that the Brazilian tap out, that little two, you mm-hmm. know. But he did it. It wasn't even like was that a maybe tap? Like he did two very clear bang bangs as the triangle was sinking tighter.
Yeah.
So Werdum is trying to appeal with the PFL and the commission. These things rarely work out.
I was going to say, what do you think his chances are with that?
I think he is doomed.
Werdumed?
He's Werdumed. Yes.
Had to do
it. Nice. I think he's doomed because of the fact that the ref wasn't there pulling him off and telling him the fight was over. And they're ultimately going to say that it's the fighter's responsibility to keep fighting until the ref doesn't say so.
Yeah.
And I think that's fucked up. And I think this is more Keith Peterson's fault. True. And I think he needs to be penalized for that. And I think it should be turned over to a no contest personally.
Well, that also fucks up the whole thing, the whole ranking system when you're talking about the PFL, because a loss is just, a loss is terrible, like, when you're talking about this whole playoff system and everything. And with the protocols and everything they're doing, there's even less events than there normally would be. So you're less chances for fights. I think guys are only getting like 2 or 3 fights. So let's say you're 1-1 and you won 1 by decision. That's what, 2 or 3 points, something like that, depending on, I think it's 3 points. So then a guy gets a knockout and a decision, he's going before you, doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Here's an interesting thing that
could happen. Or a guy gets a knockout and a loss, you know what I mean?
It's just occurred to me because of what you were saying.
Yeah.
State commission, I think he's got no chance.
Yeah.
However, the PFL, if they wanted to,
yeah,
could fix the situation by simply awarding him the same amount of points he would have got for a win.
Or both of them.
Like, yeah, split, no, I'm saying like, both of
no,
them.
No, I think a knockout's 6 points. So what if they gave him both 3?
Well, what if they give him the one? What's the sub?
I think 5 or something like
that. I mean, the sub one's probably close to the knockout one. Give him the points that he would have got for the sub. Whatever it is, take the points and correct the problem via the point system, because that fixes the issue. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fix the issue on his record. The other guy still wins the fight, technically.
Yeah.
But the integrity of the fucking... the season, the playoffs, whatever they fucking call this.
Well, they could see each other again. That's the thing. Like we talked about the Clay Collard and Pettis thing. It's like those guys ultimately could see each other in this playoff again.
No, make no mistake. There was no controversy in that one. That was a clear beatdown. But this, with this controversy, the PFL could simply award points to Verdum to remedy the situation without penalizing the other guy. Because you can make a case that what he did, which in my mind clearly was dishonorable, the ref wasn't there to stop him.
Yeah, true. Or what I don't really know. I didn't hear the sound. The ref could have told him to keep going or something. You know, you never know.
And I saw this meme, which I thought was, no, it wasn't a meme. It was a comment on Twitter. I can't give credit to whoever it was, but they were like, No, he wasn't tapping. He was congratulating Verdum on landing such an impressive triangle choke. That was actually Brazilian jiu-jitsu good sportsmanship right there. So we'll see what the PFL does here, if they take matters into their own hands or if Verdum is just fucked. And I would think since he's one of their marquee signings and they just took a hit with fucking Pettis that they can't do nothing about, they might step in and try to rot that ship. Yeah. We'll see. What about Kayla Harrison? She was on there, bro.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Was she? I blinked and I missed it. Just dominant. I thought it was very strange, though, that her opponent was a 125-pounder last season and decided to move to 155.
A big jump. I mean, I didn't watch PFL's second season.
It was
season.
150, whatever it is.
But, I mean, maybe she was murdering herself in the weight cut, and they don't.
Maybe. Nah, I don't know.
Do
but
they have
strange.
A 45?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm
still, dude, there's so much MMA. People listen to you. You guys are fucking having an MMA show. You don't know the PFL's
Well, the
stuff?
PFL
no,
has,
I don't,
like,
dude.
Weird. They have different weight classes, like, every year almost.
I seriously had wrote the PFL off after 2020. Yeah. I was like, they ain't coming back.
I didn't think they were either.
And I'm just now starting to watch, so you're right.
I didn't think they were coming back at all.
It is what it is. But I know some of these fighters, so.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Well,
and I
Kayla
saw
Harrison,
Kayla Harrison.
And then she jumps on the mic after, hits the mic drop, talking to, it seemed clearly towards Clarissa Shields, talking about, I know we're here talking about people that are going to be great in this sport and blah, blah, blah. Everyone needs to know I'm the greatest in this sport, and that's the end of it. Dropped the mic and it walked off.
And she said something else, I thought, too, like, any girls that want to smoke,
anybody,
come get it. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Like, something to that effect.
It was nice. She's legit.
Dropping the mic.
She's legit.
Yeah. And then the her opponent from the finals of last year got a knockout as well. So there could be possibly something there, too.
Kayla Harrison is a prospect in MMA I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if she'll make it to Bellator while Cyborg is still around.
Or to the UFC while Amanda's
still. Yeah, or that's what I was going to say next. Or to the UFC while Amanda still is. Because she is a person that could give them both some serious trouble. I think now, let alone with some more. She's legit skillful.
Well, doesn't she train with one of them? Who is it? Amanda?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, she does. She does. I think it's Amanda.
That'd be impressive if she is. But I know... I want to see those fights,
I'm
man. Well, I got it right here. I got it right here. She, her striking has come a long ways. Obviously, her judo is impeccable. And I think that she also carries a lot of strength despite the fact that she's continued to drop down in weight. I mean, she used to be way bigger and way stronger. I don't mean stronger, I mean way more muscular. And I still think she packs just a massive, massive, massive punch.
Yeah.
And I think she can fuck up both these girls.
She's,
I mean,
she's an American top team, so she must train with.
She's 30, and she's only 8-0 right now. She's still young.
Yeah.
But I'd be curious if she is. You got any info on that? We'll have to move on past this, if not. I just got Kayla Harrison on future Amanda Nunes fight. She's a GOAT, but I'm a beginner, but I'll get there. Kayla Harrison says she'll go down. 2 days ago, she said she's down to fight Amanda Nunes, and she'll go down as the greatest ever. So,
there you go.
I'm really intrigued by her, though. She's another one of these special prospects, I think, that will be a whole... There's the potential there for her, I think, to be the next evolution of like Amanda Nunes and Cyborg. You know, you've got how Cyborg kind of passed the torch to Nunes, right?
Yeah.
And then now Nunes is at the same time kind of being at the end of her career, just talk about retirement, even though she says she's not. And then we've got Kayla rising up, and I think she's the next one.
Yeah.
I think the one that's like kind of like Shevchenko was so far above everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling that Kayla Harrison is that future right there.
I could see that. Well, let's close today out with a little bit of looking forward to the UFC pay-per-view next weekend.
Looking to next week's pay-per-view. Man, these pay-per-views are expensive. They haven't been delivering, bro.
Yeah. This one was good. The Diaz fight fell out, though.
Man, yeah. This one, I was much more excited with that Leon Edwards Nate Diaz 5-round fight. There wasn't even going to be a co-main event, and it was 5 rounds. First time the UFC's ever done that. But Nate gets an undisclosed injury, and they rebook it. Now, I'm not going to throw any shade at that. I mean, I think Nate's at the same point in his career. You don't need to fight handicapped anymore, dude. No one, like, he always talks about how he's never pulled out of a fight or never, you know, because of an injury.
Yeah.
And this is another thing, he didn't pull out of the fight. It's rebooked or whatever, but. Like we were talking about Cowboy earlier, dude, everybody knows you're fucking tough. Go in at your best.
Yeah, true.
You're fighting Leon Edwards. You're not fighting some fucking schmo. So, like, I may throw shade at Leon and poke fun at him a little bit on the show, but he's an excellent fighter, and Nate's going to have his hands full. True. Go in at your best. But I'm bummed it's not on the card. We do have the lightweight title finally getting handed out, which could be exciting. It's going to be the Michael Chandler. Fucking Charles Oliveira.
Yeah.
We've got Tony Ferguson in the same weight class fighting Beneil Dariush, which could be interesting. We've got Shane Burgos versus Edson Barboza. Like, these are good fights, man. Which one do you want to talk about first? Like, there's other fights on the card, but those ones stand out to me.
Yeah.
What do you
start
like?
Start from the bottom. Talk about
Edson. Is this at 145?
I believe so.
I haven't really liked Barboza at 45.
Really?
No.
I don't know, because, like, I also think he's had some, like, he's fought some good people, though.
He's definitely fought some good people. I mean, he's fucking gone out and beat, or lost to, Khabib smoked him.
Yeah.
Several, he's lost to all the top guys, basically.
Well, no, I mean at 45, though, so far. He's had the fight with Dan Ige, who's just, I feel like in this last year, really come on, and, yeah, I just feel like Barboza, I don't understand how he makes 45 to start with.
I never thought he should have gone down there to begin with, but, I mean, he has been down there a while now, so it's hard to deny that, but I don't know. I'm not really excited. Shane is tough.
He's a fucking chaos. Like, he loves the chaos of every fight. He's the kind of guy who's going to be yelling in your face, hands down, trading, and he's going to love every moment of it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to bring it to Barboza.
Yeah.
How's Shane's wrestling? I'm not up on that. What's he got? Has he got anything in the tank?
I'm not quite sure.
Because, I mean, I don't know if he wants to go out there and trade and kickbox with Edson Barboza. That's not a good idea for too many people.
He's good on the boxing side of it, though. That's the thing that people don't talk about is, like, there you go. Barbosa's.
Unclogging pipes on here, folks.
Barbosa's nice, but like when he's. When you have a. There's a way to have a striking advantage against Barbosa, and it comes in the boxing side of things. Like, you're never really going to go out there and kick with him.
No, you can't stay at range. You're going to eat his fucking kicks.
So as long as you close that range and you box him, that's something I can see
Shane
does doing.
Actually have some good dirty boxing.
That's what I'm saying.
He can get his eye to mix it up. Yeah, actually.
That's what I like about him. And he's got a hell of a chin.
So it depends. I think you're right. The key to victory for him is going to be to get inside. You can't stay out at range with this guy.
He needs a win here, too. I think this is his first fight since the Josh Emmett fight, so... That was a fight of the year candidate, so.
Well, Barbosa's had a hard time with wrestlers, and it's cliched because he's a striker. But anytime someone stands outside with him, it hasn't been good.
Yeah, we saw that in the Ige fight.
Mm-hmm. Ige's tough as they come, too.
I couldn't believe he beat Barbosa. I was like, wow.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's craziness. Well, who do you got?
Dude, I got Shane.
Yeah, I'm taking Shane as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. I expect that to be a good, exciting fight, though.
Yeah, me too.
Should be a banger, as
well,
the Brits say.
Let's move on up. We'll talk about this Tony Ferguson versus Beneil Dariush fight, which is another pretty big one.
I'm guessing Tony was the backup. Was there some undercover backup fighter for Chandler versus Oliveira? Do you know?
Nah, I'm just
curious. They're both booked in the same weight class. I mean,
yeah, but Tony's ranked 5 and he's on a 2-fight losing streak. There's no way he's the backup. This was just a fight that Beneil earned.
Well, the division's in a weird spot with the.
No, I think Beneil earned this fight, man. Beneil's had 2 really fantastic knockouts in his last 2 fights.
No, he has. There's no denying that. I'm not throwing shade at that. I think this is a bad fight for Tony.
Yeah. Well, Beneil, we've seen on he's on a 5-fight win streak now, 4-fight win streak. And, he's one of those guys who's kind of been around for a while, and he's just finally getting his chance to crack the top 5, you know what I mean? He was undefeated for a while. He's had those, couple weird knockouts.
Yeah, he's 20-4. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's an outstanding record.
Yeah.
And he's been in the UFC for a while now.
I want to say since probably 2012, right?
And if he gets this win right here, I mean, if he goes out there and if he beats fucking Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
He
could be talking title shot, honestly.
You could be the way things are right now. Like the way the division is. I mean, you've got Conor McGregor talking about jumping up to fucking welterweight.
Yeah.
And who knows? Yeah. I mean.
And ultimately, who even knows, even if Conor beats Dustin, if he even wants to fight for the belt or fight ever again? He's got $600 million from his whiskey brand.
He lost by – he was knocked – Beneil Dariush was knocked out by Alexander Hernandez. Then he had a draw with Evan Dunham, and this was way back in 2017. Before that, he lost to a flying knee from Edson Barboza.
Yeah. Both those were like freak knockouts. Remember, we were actually there for the Alex Hernandez fight.
Yeah,
That was on the Ultimate Fighter card that we watched at the Pearl of the Palms.
Yep, sure was.
And we both were looking at it like going in, and we were talking about in the crowd how fucking Hernandez just looked super fired up and like ready to go, and he just fucking took advantage of him. But so what is he? He's won 5 in a row since then.
Yeah, he's beat Thiago Moises since then, Drew Dober, Frank Macho Camacho, Jakar Close, and dang, I lost it right there. Jakar Close, then, Scott Holtzman, and then Fiera.
Yeah. So I mean, and then you put Tony Ferguson in that's 6 wins in a row, and we're talking about a lightweight division where everyone's kind of fought everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And throwing your name into the ring is definitely, I think, he could be a fight or two away from a possible title shot, especially with someone like Chandler, who's like, I feel like Chandler's going to be both guys, Chandler or Oliveira, are both like guys who I feel like aren't going to be one of those champions who hold the belt and are like, I'm only holding for money fights. Like, I feel like they'll be the kind of champion that's like taking all comers. It don't matter who you are. You know what I mean?
Dariush has been putting in work since January of 2014 in the UFC, man.
Yeah, for sure.
He came in and beat Charlie Brenneman in his first out.
And then he's only got his 4 losses are in the UFC.
Yeah, he lost to Ramzy Nijem, who he was the shit when he came off the Ultimate Fighter, man. He was a force for a minute. I know he kind of fell off since then. And he lost to Michael Chiesa, subbed him out.
Not a bad loss.
In 2016. And then he lost to Barbosa and then that crazy Hernandez shit.
Which none of those losses are bad losses, though. Like, right. Ultimately, those are all guys who are, like, either prospects or up there in the division.
And his wins have been legit. I mean, he's got a decision, then a sub, then a sub, then a KO.
All of them KOs, yeah. After that.
Yeah, and then just goes on out. Yeah. So that's an exciting fight. I'm worried about Tony Ferguson. We've talked about it on the show before. Tony...
I don't know. I think this is a good chance for Tony to put himself back on track.
I hope he does.
As well.
If I pick who I want to win, it's Tony. Okay, but yeah. I'm worried Tony has come to that spot for a fighter where he's hit a certain age.
Yeah.
And now it's just that's it. He lost that edge that put him up there in that top five, and he's going to lose.
It's hard to say that because those two losses are against guys who are.
I know. I'm not saying that's what happened.
Or the number one contender.
I'm just worried. That's all. I'm worried. And it's mainly due to his age. He's very old for a lightweight, man.
That's true. Yeah.
Like,
he's old, but you get what I'm saying, though? It's like his two losses are to Oliveira and fucking Justin Gaethje, who are both, like, championship caliber fighters.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. Like, he's a championship caliber fighter.
Yeah.
But if is this it? Was that the peak? The Khabib fight that never came? You know?
True. I feel you.
Like, that was Tony's shit.
Ultimately...
I hope that's not it. I want him to go on.
We've been saying this about Tony for a while, though, because Tony's so down to always take fights that he's taken a lot of fights that he didn't need to take before he got to the belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I don't like to doubt Tony Ferguson sometimes because every time I feel like you doubt him is when he comes out and puts on a great performance.
I love Tony. Yeah. I hope he wins. Really. I hope he goes out and makes a statement performance. So everybody will shut the fuck up. And he inserts himself right back into this title picture as well. I like this shark tank that's brewing at the top here between.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Chandler and Oliveira, who we're about to talk about. And we've got Conor and Poirier. We've got Ferguson. You've got Dariush.
Yeah, Kevin Lee coming back.
Yeah. You got some just this.
Killers.
And you've got Gaethje still out there without a fight.
Gaethje still doesn't have a fight, yep.
And then you got the lower ranked guys just looking
just
to break
like,
out, man.
Like we said last weekend, then you just had a guy like freaking Gregor Gillespie just got his win. You know, there's guys at lightweight that are just like, there's so much talent there, it's nuts.
Yeah, and this title picture is going to be really interesting once this plays out. I mean, let's dive into that. We got Chandler, we got Oliveira for the vacant title. Khabib finally stripped.
Yeah.
I hate it when... You can't win the belt off the champ, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's the situation that we have. So, Charles Oliveira has been pretty impressive. He's been putting in that work, too.
Mm-hmm.
Du Bronx.
For sure.
Submachine, man. He's been fucking subbing all kinds of people.
Yeah, he's nuts.
He's got the record now, I do believe.
Yeah, I think he
has
a record.
Close to it.
Mm-hmm. He's either tied or he has.
Coming against Chandler with his strong, strong wrestling, heavy hands.
And his freaking – here's the thing is, like, he did something that really doesn't happen in his last – like, at least in his last few fights. But Hooker, who was, like, in these wars where people couldn't put him away and couldn't knock him down, Chandler went out and put him away with one punch pretty much.
Yeah, it was really impressive. No one knocks out Dan Hooker like that.
No. Fucking crazy.
So,
do you think Chandler deserves this fight?
It depends on what you're basing it on. If you're basing it on what has he done in the UFC, well, no.
Yeah.
Not at all. If you're basing it on who he is and what he's accomplished in his career, sure. Due to the circumstances with Poirier. I mean, that's how we got it. I mean, Poirier was offered this fight and was like, no, I'm going to fucking do Conor instead.
How mad would have everyone have been if they would have just made that Conor and Poirier fight for the belt?
Oh, man.
Everyone would have been so
mad. Dude, the haters would have lost their minds, bro.
Yeah.
But in the official UFC rankings, I mean, as of today, you've got Poirier at number one, Oliveira at two, Gaethje at three, who's still without a fight. Then Chandler comes in there, and then Conor, right? Then we're followed down by Ferguson. And then it gets weird after that. We've got Rafael Dos Anjos, Dan Hooker, Islam Makhachev, who could be a problem.
Yeah.
The aforementioned Kevin Lee, Paul Felder, Gregor Gillespie, then Dariush.
Is that the official UFC one?
Yeah.
How the fuck is RDA ranked seventh? What did he do at lightweight? I thought he's been fighting welterweight this whole time.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
These are the UFC rankings. You know how they are, dude.
I don't know,
They're pretty suspect.
They're pretty suspect.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, who do you like in this fight and why?
This fight's tough for me, honestly, because I think I've just haven't seen enough of Oliveira yet because, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this new Oliveira has only been around for, like, his last three fights. Like, this, like, the new version of him where his stand-up has just gotten so much better.
Right.
That, like, I don't know. I really just don't know at this point. I think Michael Chandler's going to win this fight, but I would not be surprised if Charles Oliveira won this fight.
Well, in the updated UFC rankings, just to clarify what I was saying earlier, because they come out Mondays. These are updated now. I guess I had an old cached page or something. We've got Poirier, then Gaethje, 1 and 2. Then Oliveira, then Chandler, 3 and 4. Then Ferguson, then Connor at 6. And then, Rafael Dos Anjos, Dan Hooker, Dariush, Felder, then Makhachev. Then we get into Fierro, who just lost.
Yeah.
Kevin Lee.
Then we got Kevin Lee low.
Yeah. For sure.
That's fucked up.
A lot of sharks up there in the top five, though. I like this fight. I like Michael Chandler in this fight. I think he's got a lot of dog left in him, and I think he's going to seize his moment.
I think so,
and,
too.
And I think he's going to beat this dude up, actually.
You think so?
Yeah.
Think it's going to be a long night for him?
For Chandler or for Oliveira?
No, for Oliveira.
I think so. I think he's in for some grinding.
Really?
I mean, he's good off his back.
Yeah.
But I think the ground and pound is going to be something we see a lot of from Chandler. I think he's going to get wrestled, taken down, and fucking pounded.
I could see.
He might not get TKO'd. Mm-hmm. But I think Chandler's too strong. I think he can stop his subs on the ground. And I think he can box him up on the feet. Because, you're right. Oliveira's striking has improved, but I really like Chandler's, especially after seeing him.
Chandler's one of those like classic like sprawl and brawl kind of wrestlers where like he'll use his wrestling if there's a clear advantage, but like if someone has like jiu-jitsu or any ground game, he'll just fucking box your head off. He's like one of those kind of like Johnny Hendricks too, where like he carries a lot of power for a wrestler who's like not traditionally a striker. You know what I mean?
He does. That's why the haters like to throw shade and be like, he's juicing. Yeah. The man ain't never tested dirty. I think it would be very interesting to have Michael Chandler as the UFC champ. Especially if Conor wins against Poirier because he's flat out said he wants to fight Conor.
he wanted it to be his first title.
I mean, I think he'd fight Conor off a loss if he could. if Conor loses, it'd still be like, I'll fight Conor.
Yeah, I'll fight him next. Cool.
So all in all, this is some decent top-heavy card, I'd say. But you like Chandler here, too?
Yeah, I think Chandler wins by knockout in the third round.
And what do you think the next fight is after that? Connor. Like, who do you think he faces? Is it the winner of Poirier,
Connor? It has to be. Because if Poirier wins, how the fuck do you not give Poirier the title shot? And if Connor wins,
what
it's
about
just
Justin Gaethje sitting out here since
fuck
he lost
Justin
to Khabib?
Gaethje. I'm sorry. Justin Gaethje had his chance to fight Michael Chandler on multiple occasions and has turned it down 3 or 4 times. And I think that's just what it is. Like, he wants to play this game where Michael Chandler doesn't deserve shit because he's new in the UFC and he's from Bellator and blah, 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 blah. But guess what? If you sit out and you wait, you got no one to blame but yourself in the end of the day. Because every single time, there's been tons and tons of people who have come out and said that Justin Gaethje's turning down fights against them to hold out for a title shot.
Yeah, I've heard that too. That is the rumor,
yeah,
whatever, that's out all over the place. Yeah,
a lot of people have said that.
I can't understand Gaethje's attitude towards Chandler when you consider fucking Gaethje's roots.
Yeah,
like where did he come from? He came from the fucking
World Series of Fighting,
well, which is now the PFL.
Yeah, and he's upset about that too because remember everyone didn't give him any real like chance because he was so wild. I remember when he came in and that Michael Johnson fight, everyone was like, what the fuck was that?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? He was just so wild, dude. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he comes in at the time, Michael Johnson was a fairly high-ranked fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the Michael Johnson we see today. He was definitely in the top 10 at the fucking time.
Yeah.
And then he jumped out of that fight right into Eddie Alvarez, who's cream of the crop at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he got respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't...
Yeah, but didn't he lose to Alvarez and Poirier back-to-back?
Yeah, he did. He lost back-to-back to Alvarez and Poirier, and then...
yeah, kind of put him in
then came back against Vic, obscure, and then Barboza, yeah. Cerrone, Ferguson, and then lost to Khabib.
Yeah.
But my point being, he's like, Chandler doesn't deserve this. He's getting about the same level that Chandler got.
Well, and that's why Poirier also doesn't give a shit about fighting him either, because Poirier said it a few times, like, I've already been there, done that. Like, I beat him already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I like Gaethje. I don't understand why he doesn't have a fight booked, so we'll see.
It's his own fault.
I like Chandler to win this fight as well, and I think his next fight is...
Winner Poirier, Connor,
for sure. Either Poirier or Connor. I mean, the fan in me would like to see Connor go ahead and win his next fight. And we'll probably end out the show talking about this. But, I mean, you watch his social media at all?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the same thing. It's not a new theory or anything. It's hard to be hungry when you were living that life, my man.
Yeah.
We talked about it before. His shares in Proper 12 sold for $600
million.
That didn't all go to him, but it was split between him, his manager, Audiatar, and one other dude.
Yeah, but I doubt that.
And this was Connor's baby.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
And
he's still part of it, supposedly.
Yeah, no, and he's still part of it. He still has money in it, and he's going to remain the spokesman. And he has profits tied into sales, I'm quite certain, because Connor's super smart. And just as a quick aside, for all the people that like to throw shade at his whiskey and say it's garbage, A, I think you've probably never tried it. B, it's a four-year whiskey. What do you expect? What do you think you're drinking?
Yeah.
And C, if it sucked... It wouldn't have fucking sold, man.
Yeah, true.
No fucking company is going to go coughing up $600 million for some swill, as people like to put it. Bullshit. Y'all just hate.
Yeah.
I got some on the shelf over there. It's not the finest fucking whiskey I've ever tasted, but for a fucking 4 year, it's nice. You got to compare it to what it is. You can't be like,
you got to compare it to like a Jameson.
Like an early, not Jameson's finer
stuff. No, like
run-of-the-mill, regular ass other 3 and 4 year whiskeys.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. But anyways, you know, his son just had a big-ass birthday bash on Instagram, which looked awesome. He just made all that loot. His wife's pregnant again. He's about to have his third child.
Yeah.
And he's putting out training stuff, too.
Yeah.
And he's saying, like, he's not going to bring his kids this time. He's saying that it's hard to be a fucking savage when, before the fight, you're fucking holding your son.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. He used some slang I'm not familiar with for his children. And, you know, he's saying that you've awoken the beast, et cetera, which could be true. But he's also still living that, like, bro, he's legit halfway to a billionaire.
Yeah, he's on his way.
Dustin fucking Poirier, while he's made some money, is in the gym in fucking Nolens somewhere.
Nolens.
Fucking probably grinding. Yeah. And he's doing shit with his charity and doing his other stuff, but he ain't on no yacht. He ain't throwing 600 people fucking birthday bashes on Instagram. He ain't cashing no $600 million checks. He's in the gym. He's fucking... It'll be the best thing ever happened to him if he beats Conor a second time, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Is it the worst thing that's ever happened to Conor McGregor if he loses here? No. Is it the best thing that ever happens to Conor if he wins here? No. Not even close.
I don't...
The best thing that ever happened to Conor McGregor was his early work, because and the shit he does.
Well, when I think career wise, it's in his best interest to win this fight for sure.
Or it's over. But is he going to be like, he might be bummed his mixed martial arts career is over, but everybody's set in his family line till they're fucking probably six generations from now. Dustin Poirier ain't got that. He's probably got some money, but he ain't living a millionaire lifestyle. That dude's still hungry for shit, and sometimes I think that really comes into play.
I agree,
and it's not some original idea. Like, everybody knows it's cliched, but it's a cliche for a fucking reason, man. And Connor's living that life like few people, period, let alone some fucking fighter.
Yeah, he's living that Floyd life.
He is,
but some people manage it and some people don't.
Floyd could pull it off.
Floyd
made that money and put that work in, and Connor's already flubbed it up a couple times. You know what I mean? Now it's not hypothetical.
Yeah, true.
He just got knocked the fuck out by Dustin.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, that we'll really see if the quote-unquote monster is being unleashed. Because, like, I don't know, man. If he loses here, it's over. And if he wins here, it could be reignited as far as his whole entire career. Because just like that crazy run he made early in his career could just as easily become the craziest, like, run to end his career.
And everybody loves a good comeback.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone loves a good comeback story. So what I'm saying is
the best thing for his legacy.
The best thing ever for his legacy. If he came back, let's say he fought four more times in the UFC total. He beats Dustin. He beats Chandler.
Wins the title. Okay.
Wins the title. Beats Gaethje. And then whoever.
You think he'd actually defend?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or do you think he'd jump up this and try to get smoke with the welterweights?
I don't think that's smart.
I don't think it is either. He's already talking shit about doing that.
No, I don't think
I think Usman would murder fucking Conor McGregor.
I think if he, in a perfect world, his last four fights would all be lightweights and would all be kind of the guys who are at the top five right now.
What, end it with the fucking Diaz shit? Or do you think that should never
I like that a lot. Yeah, Diaz. End it with Diaz. So I think he would hold on to the belt, defend it once against Gaethje, and finish with Diaz.
So it would be Gaethje, Diaz, Chandler.
Poirier.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting. I would like that as well.
If he won all four of those fights, that would be legendary.
That would
be a legendary run to end a career. Walks off on the sunset, four-fight win streak.
Gets the title back.
With a belt.
And does the thing that everybody criticized him for by defending it.
And then capping the fucking trilogy off with the edge over Diaz.
That would be...
That'd be movie shit.
That would be a movie legacy. You could go write that shit up.
But his life...
I mean, he already is. Yeah, I was going to say, you can write that story.
Or none of that happens, he loses, and it really doesn't matter. His first run was legendary enough.
Dude, I was going to say, let's talk about that for a second. He already did the movie shit when he secured the Floyd fight.
Yeah.
And if you watch that documentary, which is hella good, Notorious.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where it ends. Like, it shows his rise up, and then he gets the Floyd deal, and then it ends with him doing the promo shit.
Yep.
And then it gives the results.
Proper 12. It's like proper 12 at the start. And then
but look what he's done since then.
Yeah.
He made about $100 million pre-tax from Floyd, right? Which is awesome. Jesus, dude. Everybody was blown the fuck away. He even got the fight. And people might look at that now like it's not a big deal because we're seeing this Paul brother bullshit. But this was what started all that shit.
Yeah.
Conor Floyd started that shit.
Yeah.
So, and that could have been a story right there. Super successful, then he comes back, he loses to Khabib. Oh well, retired multi fucking millionaire.
Yeah.
But no, then he goes out and starts Proper 12 and sells it for $600 million fucking dollars.
That's a lot of money.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Lots of people think they can go start some fucking whiskey business. I mean, that's not luck. That's hard ass goddamn work, man. That motherfucker, all that promotion, all that shit, all them boxing rings we've seen that shit in.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. And he could come back, and that could be the end of his story, but he could come back and still write it again.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like, even if you hate Conor, I don't see how you can't respect accomplishments if you still don't like the person. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you think I fucking like all these fighters personally that I respect? No.
Yeah.
But you can still acknowledge people that are good at their professions
and
skilled as hell at business.
Yeah.
You should take a lesson from it. Don't hate on it. Fuck. Right? I can be like, I should take notes. What can I learn here? Yeah, shit, man.
I feel you.
Right. Well, that's the show today, I think.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up for today.
I'm looking forward to next week, man. I'm really looking forward to what happens with this lightweight picture here this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
could get a lot of clarity because if Tony Ferguson wins, he could be right back in the conversation too.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you are new to the show, we air on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time on KLVM Radio, klvmradio.com. We are, of course, on anywhere you get your podcasts from, Amazon Music, and now Audible, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere else. You can get all that information in one handy spot. Paul, where is it at?
SWATMA.com, where you can head over there, click the gear button, and buy a shirt and support the podcast.
Thanks, everybody.